the defense of Fiavash. At the time of this famous battle, Maeon Shi was already nearing 40 years of age, old for a Tao, and was looking forward to spending his last years on the paradise sept of Iutao. A much-respected life was behind him, many long years spent helping to expand the empire into space by providing guidance for the Tao in his care. Hailing from the hot-blooded sept of Viola, Aeon Shi had perhaps a better understanding of the Firecast and their way of war. It is said that, on occasion, he even went as far as to join them in their battle rituals, honing his skills with the Honor Blade to a level where even the Chasse-Vrai could not pierce his defences. His skills with a blade had reached the level where spirit, weapon, and body had achieved complete harmony. In what was supposed to be his last assignment, Aeon Shi led a Tao colony force to a world he named Kaltre, the newest world in the expanding Tao Empire. Infested by feral orcs, initial progress in claiming the world was slow, but under Aeon Shi's guidance, Fire Warrior teams were soon able to push the orcs back from the main areas of Tao settlements. Within 4 years, the world was flourishing, the Fior building many fine towns across the main continental mass. Fiovash was one such town, a mining outpost in the low foothills of a mineral-rich mountain range some 400 miles to the east of the capital. While on a tour of inspection of the outlying towns, Aeon Shi and his bodyguard became trapped in Fiovash when a horde of feral orcs surrounded the town and launched a surprise attack to capture the mine workings. The existing garrison of Fiovash had been augmented by Aeon Shi's Fire Warrior bodyguard, and the orcs were cut down in their hundreds. Early in the fighting, the Chasse-Vrai of the Fire Warriors was beheaded, cut down by an enormous orc knob. The loss of this heroic warrior sent a surge of panic through the ranks of the Tao Warriors, and it seemed as though their defense would crumble. Aeon Shi leapt in front of the knob and cut him in two with one blow from his honor blade, planting the haft of his weapon between the shorn halves of the corpse. Heartened by the ethereal's brave defiance, the Fire Warrior's line steadied and they threw the orcs back. Again and again the orcs attacked Fiovash, and each time Aeon Shi led the defenders in battle, fighting alongside his warriors and spurring them to unheard feats of valor. He dispatched stealth armored warriors and a member of the corps to take word to the capital, as he knew that against so many orcs it was only a matter of time until they were overrun. The battle raged on, the Tau defenders silhouetted by the flames of burning buildings. The Fire Warriors were fighting at the limits of courage and endurance, held together by the indomitable will of Aeon Shi. Every time their line bent back under orc assault, Aeon Shi was there, his flashing honor blade, a shimmering blur of silver steel as he cut down orcs by the dozen. Aeon Shi moved like quicksilver, dodging killing blows, twisting and weaving through the air in a graceful ballet of death. Whenever he struck, orcs died and soon none would go near him. So fearful were they of this warrior who could not be killed. Eventually, the Tao were forced to pull back to an inner perimeter of defensive walls which the Fior had constructed. And there they prepared for the next assault. Aeon Shi stood in the ranks with the surviving Fire Warriors, hoping that the Corps had managed to carry word of their situation to the capital. The Greenskins attacked again, and though the Fire Warriors slew scores of orcs with every volley, they simply could not kill enough to prevent them from reaching the walls. All through the burning heat of the day, orcs charged the defensive walls, the mound of dead before it growing every second as the Fire Warriors killed with grim efficiency. The walls were beginning to give in places, and orcs poured through these gaps whenever they appeared, swamping Tau battlesuits and dragging them to the ground. Each time the orcs formed a wedge within a breach, Aeon Shi led a counterattack to hurl them from the compound. As dusk approached, less than 50 Fire Warriors remained alive, and both forces sensed that the end was near. As the orcs massed for the final attack, Eonshi ordered a retreat into the barricaded shrine at the town centre, knowing that there were too few of them to hold the full length of the wall. The fire warriors readied their last clips of ammunition, while the workers of the Fjordcast took up their picks and shovels, ready to fight in hand-to-hand combat. With a roar of pure hatred, the orcs swarmed over the wall and into the compound, burning and destroying everything in their path. Fire warriors shot from prepared loopholes, thinning the first wave of orcs, but unable to prevent it from reaching the building. Orcs set about the door to the shrine with giant axes, climbing the walls to smash through the roof and screaming their bestial war cries. The first orcs to enter the shrine were killed swiftly, but there were always more pushing their way inside. Eonshi fought at the shrine doors as they were finally ripped from the frame. Together with the last of his fire warriors, Eonshi stood ready to fight, his honor blade cleaving the air before him in long, sweeping slashes. If they were to die, then they would die together. Suddenly, the orcs were thrown into silhouette as a series of rippling detonations exploded behind them. Sweeping through the flames came the bulky forms of dozens of devilfish troop carriers, guns chattering with deadly firepower as team after team of fire warriors poured from their interiors. Alerted by the core, the full wrath of the Tau now fell upon the orc rear. Lumbering broadside battle suits sprayed the orcs with plasma fire, cutting them down in droves as hammerhead tanks blasted huge holes in the orc mobs. Within the hour, the orcs were either dead or fleeing, and the leader of the recently arrived Fire Warrior cadres found Eonshi still standing at the shrine doors, his honor blade slick with orc blood, a handful of his bodyguard left alive. Despite the terrible casualties, the defense of Fjordvash was hailed as a great victory. The ethereal shrine still stood, and the mine workings were still in Tau hands. The survivors of the siege hailed Eonshi as a hero, the Fire Warriors pledging to serve him for the rest of their lives. News of the victory soon reached the ethereals and Tau, and rather than allow Eonshi to spend his remaining years on Eotal, it was decreed that he would lead fresh expeditions to expand the Tau Empire. There would be no peaceful retirement for Eonshi.
How cool is that? How cool is that? And it, the, like the little bit at the end there, it works to add the, you know, the implication of the dark harshness of the ethereal castes at the heart of the Tau Empire. You know, like this just, yeah, I mean, everything they do to, I mean, if you've read the Farsight novels and stuff like that, I mean, really delves into that stuff a lot, you know. What they do to the Tau, you know, and the I read another short story recently about like I forgot what it's called, the diplomat story, and it's, you know, it just mentions that they've got this ridge on their head, and it's like I love this from the very start, because I think some people are under the impression that the Tau were like good boys from the very start, but they weren't. I mean, it was always from day one this dark side of the Tau, you know, the nice side of the greater good, and everybody can join the Empire, and it was always there, you know. I mean, Commander Farsight, obviously, and his whole thing with the Farsight's enclaves and stuff has been in there from day one, and all this stuff with the Tau has been in there since day one, and it's nice, man. It's subtle. It adds this little bit of, you know, awkward feeling that you get when you're hearing about this enlightened, lovely empire, but it's got this darkness at the centre of it. I know some people don't like that, but it's what it's always been, you know? And they've built on that now, obviously. There's a Tau god, and that's a whole interesting story. I've talked about that before. But yeah, I love this. This guy, I think, hasn't been around for, it's got to be a best part of 10 years now. He was just a little character unit back in the day, you know? And yeah, obviously, because the Tau, again, since day one, have been terrible at combat. I like the little bits in this about, like, as soon as the ethereal dies, all the other Tau start shitting themselves a bit. Like, they lose their focus, they become dead jittery, because they worship these people. And this whole thing about there being a shrine, I don't know if that's part of the lore. That's probably one of the only times I've seen that written down anywhere, that there was, like, a shrine in the settlement to the ethereal cast. Interesting, nonetheless. But it's just, there's little subtle things dotted around that they've really built on, and they were there from the start, and you can tell they really planned out the tow in a nice way, and I find it really fun. But yeah, obviously he was a combat sort of specialist hero. And again, it echoes what happens in the Farsight thing. You see, you get these other little stories that hint at the same sort of things. You see, so it all builds up the lore, because that's kind of what happened a little bit with what happened with Farsight and stuff, with their ethereal dying, and all of a sudden it's almost like it's more complicated than that with the Farsight story as it's been built on. But initially it was this: the ethereal dies, and all of a sudden the Tau go rogue. You know, the Firecast and the Tau in that expedition go rogue because they haven't got someone sort of directing them, influencing them. So it's good stuff. But yeah, he was a cool little character. I remember him. I don't think I ever had him. I think a friend of mine did. But yeah, he had like a sort of double-handed glaive type thing. But good stuff, man. Really good stuff. I love all these little things and these old characters that really added to the depth of the universe. I'll be back again soon with more stuff. I'm just doing a few sort of short, small things in between as I prepare several very large videos as we go into the spring and summer of 2024. So I hope you enjoy them coming up. Thank you to everybody supporting the channel. Your name's the Scrolling Boy here. And to everybody who does, really, I really appreciate it. Please do like the video and let me know in the comments what you think. I'll be back again with more stuff very, very soon. Thank you all. Goodbye. May the Emperor protect. Goodbye. Ta-ra. Bye-bye.